children, etc., etc., etc. So there's a big long wish list. And may Allah, if someone is not being remembered when it's being said over here, there's nothing to be heard. Because sponsors of iftar, they do a great big job. Not all those who do complain in this aspect also, at the time of iftar, they are there as well. And again, in this hadith that was just recited, Allah says that there is a table that He has laid, and it is for those who fast, for the sa'imeen. Or this month of Ramadan, it's known as the month of Dhiyafatullah. It's the month where Allah is the host and we are the guests. The other thing is, when it comes to du'as, many a times you find these different terms. Some say that, meri bhi umr lag jaye. For example, my life also be yours. Or sometimes they say that that person has been afflicted in a bala, in a disease. We ask that no person ever gets that disease. If you analyze these sayings that we say, many a times they are not right. It is as if we are complaining to Allah that what has unfolded is not right. So afflictions, gila, and the way we have these du'as also have to be careful. Now Allah, if He wants, He can give a life much longer to any person. He doesn't need to reduce a life and to give an extra life to someone else. For Him, if He was to give an end never, He says that I'll give you my life, that is never ending. A person who can live forever if he is obedient to me. So for Him, that's not great. The other thing is, if ghusl becomes wajib, if a person has a wet dream, or ghusl becomes wajib, before Fajr he must perform that ghusl. If he doesn't do the ghusl and starts his fast, that fast is batil. And a penalty also will apply. And if there isn't much time for him to do the ghusl, then a tayammum has to be done, and he has to start the fast with tahara. If ghusl was wajib, that has to be done. If he couldn't do it, tayammum has to be done. Without tahara, if a person starts his fast, that is going to be batil. The other thing is that this month is the month to train ourselves in every aspect. It's these swear words that are floating around everywhere and which have become a part of a lifestyle. For example, the four-letter F word or the S word and what and what not. And it is as such that when we want to associate with those words, and also because it's a sin, we don't use them. So when a person is angry, wants to say something, say starts with shoot, for example. Or they just change it, don't say that one. Or the same thing with the other letters. So why do we associate ourselves with those letters? A total disconnection should be there. We don't need to have any type of contact with them. Because the hadith says that الراضي بفعل قوم كالداخل فيه معهم, that someone who is pleased with the performance of a nation is part of that nation. Now, although we are not saying those words, but because we want to resemble them and use the same type of rhyming words, but in a different context of, they come and say fish, for example, but they want to use that word. So the best is we train ourselves, don't associate in any way, but train ourselves, give a replacement of a better type. And you can test ourselves with those replacements in emergencies. What do you do? Do we say those four-letter words or do we do something else? For example, if we train ourselves to say Ya Ali at all times, train ourselves to say Ya Abul Fazl at all times, Ya Sahib al-Zaman, whichever a person is familiar and likes to associate with. In emergencies also, if we train ourselves, we find that that is the first thing which will come out of our mouths, of our tongues. So again, that was a little humble reminder. Tonight, inshallah, we'll talk a bit about Dua Iftitah. Dua Iftitah, it is one of those great du'as that has been reported to us by our 12th Imam, Imam Al-Asr, Ajjalallah, Sharif. And it is recommended that we recite this dua each night in this sacred month. This dua, it could be categorized into a few sections. The first section is that the high attributes of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala have been mentioned in this dua, in the opening of it. And then it talks about the concept of Tawheed, the high teachings that our faith has, and how to approach Allah tabarak wa ta'ala when we recite du'as, how he should be addressed. And before we came into this month of Ramadan, if you remember, Munajat Sha'baniya also were recited. And Munajat Sha'baniya, it's a whole logical teaching of how a person should be approaching his God. Talk to him logically. And then this dua, iftitah, it starts mentioning the blessings, the greatness of Allah, and how he covers and hides the wrong and the faults of the human beings, of the creation. In the next segment of this dua, iftitah comes and talks about ma'sumeen, mentions each one of them, one after the other, and sending salutations upon them. And after that, it is the arrival of the Imam, the establishment of that just rule of the Imam, and then complaining to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that we are few in number, and the enemies, they are vast, they are huge, and for him to help us so that we also be in that establishment, that rule of the Imam, where we say that Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema, we desire that we want to be in the rule of the Imam of time. And riwayat, they say that when the Imam comes, and if we were not alive at that time, there will be a call in Barzakh. And all the mu'mineen, they will be informed that the Imam has arrived. Whosoever wishes to be with him, come on, they can come. That is the desire that we have, which has been focused and mentioned in this dua, iftitah. And then mentioned the rank of the leadership, the wilaya in the society. And finally, it's pleading in his presence for the relief, that is the faraj of the Imam, for that to be hastened, for him to return. So this is just in brief what dua iftitah has. This dua has been reported by Sayyid ibn Taus, one of the greatest ulama of the Shia world, who is someone who has witnessed the presence of the Imam, who is familiar with the voice of the Imam, and many riwayat have been reported from him, which he has heard from the Imam, that is the voice of the Imam. This dua, it starts with Allahumma inni aftatihu thana'a bihamdik, that O Allah, I open lauding you by your praise. Now what does that mean? In a report, the Almighty says, the Rasulullah, he says that la ahsi thana alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Rasulullah says that I cannot praise you, O Lord. You are as you have praised yourself. No one can praise Allah. He has praised himself. As he has praised himself, he deserves that praise. And to understand this, there is another hadith from our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. And it so happens that Imam, he loses his right. His right was lost. And then he says to the people that, if I find my right, I'll praise the Almighty in a way that never he was praised as such. And it so happens that the right of the Imam is found. And people were waiting how he is going to praise the Almighty Allah. And then when he gets the right, he says, Alhamdulillah. People say, is that it? He says, yes, that formula, that little word is the best way if someone wants to praise the existence of Allah. Alhamdulillah. That is, with this one word, all the praises of Allah have been embedded in it, and he has been praised. And in this dua iftitah, if you see the first few segments when it talks about Tawheed and the attributes of Allah, every segment starts with Alhamdulillah, 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 which is all a lesson of Tawheed. If you go on to page 48, there says that فَسِرْتُ أَدْعُوكَ آمِنًا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك. That is, despite all my sins, yet with utmost security I have come to you. Now this is again requires a lot of guts, that we, after doing all that wrong, all that indecency, with all that filth in us, still فَسِرْتُ أَدْعُوكَ آمِنًا, still we come to Allah. With all that peace we have come to Him, with all that hope we have come to Him, with love and acquaintance I ask for my needs without any fear. That although I've wronged, although I've done all those sins, but again when I come to the presence of God, I ask Him without any fear, without any fright. Which again, it's a great blessing from Allah that has been bestowed upon us. But with guts, and if my wish is granted with delay, I change tone and I question to God why. That is, if I have wishes, if I have hajat, and those hajat are not being granted to me, I say, God, why haven't you given that to me? Although it's we who are in debt to Allah, not He. We haven't given Him anything, it's He who has given us everything. And then we say that the delay in giving these hajat of ours by you, we don't know why, but definitely you know what the consequences of affairs are as a result of which you delay them. And again, the teaching in this dua we have is that when approaching Him, we must be careful of our presence. That first of all, we come to His presence and see who we are, a humble, a minute existence, or whose existence is non-existence. We have come to the presence of someone who possesses everything, from whose existence everything else has come into existence. So we have, with that idea, if we come to Him, a better dua, a better service will be provided. And then this delay in duas being granted, it must not result in us losing hope. Now many a times we find that all these duas that we have, just a few of them are accepted by Allah. All the others, they are not accepted. We'll touch that point. What happens to all these du'as that we have before Allah? Why are they not accepted? And when will they be accepted? He knows the best what is in our interest. He delays for the future. And it will happen that the wishes be delayed until the day of judgment. That if we have du'as for this lifetime of ours, some of them may not be granted. They will be granted on the day of judgment. So what do we do on the day of judgment with these hajat we wanted for this dunya? For example, if there are two enemies, both are fighting each other, both pray for victory. So definitely one has to win, one has to lose. Both cannot win, both cannot lose. So what happens? Both are praying for the victory. One has to win, the other has to lose. And in situations where there is a conflict of interest, like these two enemies who are praying for their victory, He accepts the prayers of the mu'mineen with a good reward, and He accepts the prayers of the kuffar, of the munafiqeen, with a decent reward. Again, to them also a reward is being given. But the reward that will be given to them, it is ultimately gradually moving towards destruction. But for mu'mineen, it is eternal and it's going to be for their own prosperity. And if the kuffar, they are granted victory, in reality, this victory which they get, it's not in their benefit. They won't benefit from it. And in such events, in fact, they are all tests, both for kuffar and both for mu'mineen. That how do they react? If they are granted that victory, mu'mineen, how do they react? If kuffar are granted the victory, how do they react? Quran says, ahadith, they say that the Almighty, He gives respite or muhlat or some time to these kuffar and munafiqeen. And that is not that because they are good, it's just to punish them gradually. Quran says that وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And as for those who reject our communications, we draw them near to destruction, that is gradually, slowly towards destruction. Or elsewhere says that وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That we give them respite But that again, it's for gradual destruction which they are into. Then says that if mu'mineen, if they are afflicted, it is to distinguish the pure from the impure. So if mu'mineen, there is a bala which has downpour on a household or on a Muslim nation. Again, there we have to sit and judge that what is the reason behind that. And again, if these balas, they downpour on mu'mineen, riwayat, they say that Allah wants them to be purified, wants them to be forgiven, wants their rank to be elevated by afflicting them with that disease, by afflicting them with that bala. So dua of a believer, of a mu'min, it is never turned down before Allah. No matter what dua it may be, it may not be accepted during our lifetime. Maybe the generations after us, they might get that ameen of that dua and they will be blessed. But dua of a mu'min, it is never, never declined. Ahadith, they say that on the day of judgment, mu'mineen, they will be confronted by humongous great rewards. And they would say that, what is this reward for? I didn't do anything that great. Then they would be addressed, that dua which you had in mind, your desire, your wish which wasn't fulfilled, this is a result of that dua of yours which was not accepted. And then mu'mineen would say that, we wish none of our du'as were ever accepted in this dunya, with all these great rewards that are being blessed to us in the hereafter. There is this hadith quoted and reporting from our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salam. Says that, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ لَيَدْعُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فِي حَاجَتِهِ فَيَقُولُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَخِّرُ إِجَابَتَهُ شَوْقًا إِلَى صَوْتِهِ. Says that a mu'min, when he calls upon the existence of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for his pledges, for his hajat, Allah says, delay that wish of his. Why? Says, I love to hear him call over and over again. I love his voice. Some riwayat say that when it comes to munafiqeen and kuffar, when they have these hajat, Allah says, give them quickly, let them go. I don't want to hear them. That is for those kuffar, for those munafiqeen. But the voice of a mu'min is loved in the heavens. It is as if it is played on a replay mode, repeat mode, and it is repeated over and over again in the throne and the heavens of Allah. And then says, فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. On the day of judgment, the Almighty would say that, عَبْدِي دَعَوْتَنِي فَأَخَّرْتُ إِجَابَتَكَ. My servant, you called upon me and I delayed your dua, your haja, and I did not respond to you then. Says, إِجَابَتَكَ وَثَوَابَكَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. The reward of that is such and such. All these rewards will be given to you for those duas that were not accepted. Then says, وَدَعَوْتَنِي فِي كَذَا وَكَذَا فَأَخَّرْتُ إِجَابَتَكَ وَثَوَابَكَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. قَالَ فَيَتَمَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُ إِنَّهُ لَمْ يُسْتَجَبْ لَهُ دَعْوَةٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِمَّا يَرَى مِنْ حُسْنِ الثَّوَابِ. That upon seeing all those benevolent rewards that will be blessed in the hereafter, he would say, may none of my du'as were ever accepted in this dunya. Now the other thing is that, despite all my wrong, all your grace has allowed me to supplicate. That is great guts that we need to be present in the presence of Allah with all the wrong and with all the filth in us. Yet when we sit and supplicate to Him, it's with all that calm and comfort we sit and ask Allah. That is a blessing from Allah. First of all, it is a blessing that He has permitted us to supplicate to Him, to talk to Him. If you look into the opening of this dua, iftitah says, Allahumma adhinta li fi du'aik, that, O God, it's you who has permitted me to talk to you, to supplicate to you. Otherwise, who are we who to sit and talk to Him? As I furnish my want and aims before you so easily, maybe the delay is for my better, and you know everything. Again, in the first few phrases of this dua, we find that we have du'as, they are not accepted. Why are they not accepted? There is a wisdom behind that, which I don't understand. And that wisdom, Allah, you know best. for why these du'as of mine are not being accepted. Du'a, it's a sign of a mu'min's submission and his ascension, his elevation towards God, where he comes closer and closer to God. And the secret of salat is du'a, which is the core of worship. Prayers that we offer, salat, which we say salat means du'a, that is talking to Allah. If you go on to slide 53, then says, فَلَمْ أَرَ مَوْلًا كَرِيمًا أَصْبَرَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ لَعِيمٍ مِنْكَ عَلَيْهِ يَا رَبِّ. That is, I haven't seen a master more kareem, more generous than you. That is, despite all the wrong the servant who has done, مِنْكَ عَلَيْهِ يَا رَبِّ, still you listen to him. إِنَّكَ تَدْعُونِي فَأُوَلِّي عَنْكَ. You called me and I turned away from you. وَتَتَحَبَّبُ إِلَيَّ فَأَتَبَغَّضُ عَلَيْكَ. And then you loved me, I hated you. وَتَتَوَدَّدُ إِلَيَّ فَلَا أَقْبَلُ مِنْكَ. I never accepted from you. كَأَنَّ لِيَ التَّتَوُّلَ عَلَيْكَ. فَلَمْ يَمْنَعْكَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ لِي وَالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَيَّ وَالتَّفَضُّلِ عَلَيْكَ. Says that despite all that wrong from me, that benevolence from you never ended. Your favors continued, your karamat continues, your goodness continues, and all those blessings of yours continued. And then we say that, فَرْحَمْ عَبْدَكَ الْجَاهِلِ. Have mercy on this ignorant servant of yours, O God. وَجُدْ عَلَيْهِ بِفَضْلِ إِحْسَانِكَ. And have mercy on him, do good to him with favors in abundance, with your favors in abundance. إِنَّكَ جَوَادٌ كَرِيمٌ. Then we come to this point where Imam says that Alhamdulillahi Malikil Mulk Mujri Al-Fulk Musakhir Al-Riyah. That is, all praise belongs to this Malik, who is the possessor, who possesses everything, who makes these ships float on the seas, who has created everything, who blows the winds, that is the creator. Why does he do all that? Says because he is Rabbul Alameen. He is the Lord of the worlds. Because he is the Lord of the worlds, he does all that. It is a beautiful dua. If you just look into the translation of it as we go, if you want to, a person will benefit more. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للثواب بمنك وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي واجب يا رحيم دعوتي وأقل يا غفور عثرتي فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعزرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقتي بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده الظاهر بالكرم مجده الباسط بالجود يده الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما إنه هو العزيز الوهاب اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيمة وغناك عنه قديم وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وسفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي أتمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك فإن أبتغ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك ولعل الذي يبتغ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور فلم أر مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي يا ربي إنك تدعوني فأولني عنك وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك كأن لي التتول عليك فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك إنك جواد كريم الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الإصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده قهر بعزته الأعزى وتواضع لعظمته العظمى فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أنادي ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصي ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني وبهجة مونقة قد أراني فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وسفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحم وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدتي نساء العالمين وصل على سبتي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي ابن موسى ومحمد ابن علي وعلي ابن محمد والحسن ابن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي حجتك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائما اللهم وسل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمن والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به وانصره نصرا عزيزا وافتح له فتحا يسيرا واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتذل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا اللهم المم به شعثنا واشعب به صدعنا وارتق به فتقنا وكثر به قلتنا وأعزز به ذلتنا وأغن به عائلنا واغذ به عن مغرمنا واجبر به فقرنا وسد به خلتنا ويسر به عسرنا وبيض به وجوهنا وفك به أسرنا وأنجح به طلبتنا وأنجز به مواعيدنا واستجب به دعوتنا واعطنا به